It's the Marketplace Tech Podcast for Tuesday the 25th. I'm Ben Johnson in New York. This week, I went to a place most hardened New Yorkers avoid at all costs, Times Square, which is both tourist central and digital display advertising central. And this week, Google has taken over the newest and biggest digital video screen in all of Times Square. It spans a full city block on Broadway. It's got 24 million LED pixels in it. And the guy who is selling the ad space to Google running up to Black Friday is named Harry Coughlin. Harry's the president of Clear Channel Outdoor New York, and he spent a few minutes with me in front of the massive digital screen. So, Harry, here we are. We're standing in front of, it almost feels like we're sitting in the front row at the movie theater.
That's a good analogy, and when you see this screen this large and this beautiful, it does feel like you're watching a movie.
Tell me how big this thing is.
Sure. It's approximately 80 feet tall, 330 feet wide.
Where does it plug in?
There's an entire broadcast center behind the screen inside the Marriott Marquis. That looks like a state-of-the-art broadcast center.
Is it the biggest one in the square?
It's the largest one in the square, and we believe it's not only the largest one in the U.S., but the largest one in the world.
How has new technology changed the face of Times Square, and what are the challenges of that?
Well, it's changed a couple of things. One, it changes the conversation that we have with our brand partners, because they can now activate in real time. They can now activate in very dynamic ways. But if you look around Times Square, the square itself has changed. What with these pedestrian plazas?
We're standing in one right now.
That's right. Amongst the Elmos and the Cookie Monsters and the Naked Cowboy.
Yeah.
So when we speak to our brand partners, it's how do you create the conversation from the screen to the street?
You're hoping to not just project images at the people who are walking by, but get them involved in what's happening. You were showing me another screen, and they've basically got a big kiss cam happening in the... But everybody's taking a photo of themselves on the screen, right?
Well, that's the interesting part about the engagement, though. So much of it becomes viral, and then it just picks up a life of its own. And that's what I really find thrilling about the dynamic of our media right now. It's fantastic.
We're in this moment talking a lot about privacy, I feel like, in the media and hacking and things like that. You guys must have some pretty badass security attached to this screen so that nobody takes control of it.
They don't even let me know what it is. They want to keep it that private. Yeah, sure. There's encrypted opportunities and protections in place that seem to prevent that.
How many people are going to see this?
Well, we say 460,000 people a day pass through the square.
So if I wanted to send my wife a special, her birthday is December 8th. If I want to send her a special message, what's it going to set me back to put it on this screen right here?
Well, we're friends now, so I'll give you the friends and family, right? You come see me after the interview, and we'll see what we can work out.
Harry, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ben. It's been a pleasure.
Just to be clear, I would never take advantage of a discount for doing journalism about something, but I probably couldn't afford it even if I wanted to. Advertisers pay $2.5 million just to use this thing for 4 weeks. By my count, that's a dollar per second. I posted a picture of this thing on Twitter, by the way. You can find my feed. I'm at The Brock Johnson. Earlier this month, I visited Kansas City for a startup contest called Get in the Ring. While I was there, I spent some time talking to the contest judges, one of them a venture capitalist named Cesar Perez Barnes. He's from Mexico, which is, by some estimates, an attractive emerging market for tech startups. I asked Cesar if emerging markets offered a friendly environment for entrepreneurs.
In terms of entrepreneurship, it's very interesting that it can become a tool for development. Mexico, for example, I think it's very representative of other emerging markets. The economy is very concentrated in few players in the government, and few families concentrate most of the economic activity. And so entrepreneurship can open up spaces of development and bring innovation and grow the economy. But it's very difficult for those entrepreneurs to prosper in such a market. So whatever you can do to find them and catalyze their growth can have a big impact in those economies.
So how do you do that?
You try to do what a venture capitalist would do for you in Silicon Valley, but that ecosystem does not exist in a place like Mexico City or in a place like Brazil or Colombia.
Well, I was going to say it's like extremes there, right? There's either plenty of access to capital or you've got no access to capital.
Correct.
I assume you've been coaching people this morning?
Not in this competition, but in others.
How do you coach? What's the biggest problem that people have?
In these sorts of competitions is to be able to convey the opportunity and why you're the right guy or girl to take it home in a very limited amount of time. Because there's a lot of complexity in one of these business ventures, and to be able to compress it and to convey it convincingly, it's not an easy job.
You led with personality, right?
Yeah.
In your answer there, which I think is really interesting when you're talking about innovation in tech companies.
If you have 1 minute, then it's going to be a lot about the personality.
And the idea is almost secondary.
Not secondary, but it has to be all, you have to almost embody the company that you're presenting.
What's a really good example of that?
Typically, it's a cliche, but it's Steve Jobs and Apple. And I mean, these are companies that are associated with their founder because they embody the vision of the founder. And you see it pretty quickly in these kinds of competition.
Cesar Perez Barnes is a venture capitalist from Mexico City. Before we go today, a couple of Sony headlines, neither of them very good. Sony Pictures was apparently hacked on Monday, with studio heads saying they were investigating a, quote, IT issue. And the company removed a suggestive ad from YouTube featuring a woman dressed like an alluring doctor and making innuendos. The ad ran in Europe. It was taken down after the company got complaints the ad was sexist and played to the teen male gamer stereotype. I'm Ben Johnson, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
Oscar Gomez was a Chicano student activist in the 90s, a radio DJ, and a rising star.
He was fire. He was charisma incarnate. Everyone had a crush on him.
He was a voice of people, who didn't have a voice.
Until his sudden and mysterious death. What happened to Oscar? Imperfect Paradise, The Forgotten Revolutionary, wherever you get your podcasts.